Dave Emery here, side one of For the Record program number 798. Thrive on This, Counterculture Fascism in Cinema. This program is being recorded on June 15th of the year 2014. In a number of programs, including For the Record 172 and 437, I have dealt with the broad concept of counterculture fascism. This is something that defies easy definition, but I'll do my best. Fascism has always attempted to appeal, or successfully has appealed to, on the one hand, people's idealism, and also it has worked quite successfully over the decades to attract people who are disaffected and or alienated in one way or another. Often, combining the two, taking people's disaffection and or alienation and appealing to what might perhaps be termed an underlying idealism or perhaps hope for something better. Fascism has always relied on deception. And I would note in this regard that fascism in general and German National Socialism or Nazism in particular has always involved an occult element. The NSDAP, the German Nazi Party under Hitler, evolved from a pan-German occult group called the Thule Society, and there was a powerful occult element within the SS centered on the Annenerbe. In recent years, or perhaps not so recent years, in the late 20th and early 21st centuries, a fair amount of literature, a lot of material on the internet, and in recent years also some films have attempted with some degree of market success, so to speak, to incorporate elements of New Age philosophy and idealism, particularly things geared to appeal to the young and more liberally inclined idealistic, liberal in the sense of the traditional American concept of liberal, not the European economic concept of liberal, which really means what most Americans mean by conservative. When you hear the term neoliberal used in an economic context, they're not talking about FDR or President Kennedy. They are talking about conservatives, and liberal means free market or laissez-faire economics. The so-called truther movement, that social movement or political fringe movement that maintains that there was a controlled demolition of the World Trade Center, or that the cruise missile hit the Pentagon or some such thing. By the way, theories that obscure the very real conspiratorial elements of the 9/11 attacks, including the very real and profound evidentiary tributaries running in the direction of the Bush administration and the GOP through the Operation Green Quest raids milieu. The truther movement has embraced considerable elements of fascist theory, in particular anti-Semitic, quote, banking conspiracies, unquote, and has woven that into or baked that into an ideological mishmash or ideological pizza pie that has found quite a bit of, has gained quite a bit of traction, largely due, I think, to the combination of the internet and simply the bat bleep ignorance and bad education of a large number of American people, and frankly, people elsewhere. There is a film called Zeitgeist that appeals to truthers, that weaves in some aspects of historical reality, such as the fact that some key Wall Street figures, such as the ancestors of the Bush family, George Herbert Walker and Prescott Bush Sr., were involved with the financing of Hitler, as were people like Henry Ford and others. And then it quickly weaves that into the Federal Reserve conspiracy, quote, conspiracy, unquote, and notions that a cabal of Jewish bankers runs the world. One of the key people in Zeitgeist is a John Birch Society officer named G. Edward Griffin, last name G-R-I-F-F-I-N. His book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, which again draws on fascist anti-Federal Reserve conspiracy theories, also gained quite a bit of traction. And G. Edward Griffin of the John Birch Society is one of the people whose work is featured in the film that is going to be the focal point of today's program. That is a movie called Thrive, T-H-R-I-V-E. This is a film that has gained a lot of traction on the internet. It included the theories and appearances of quite a few people who are reputable and in the progressive political sector, most of whom have since explicitly disowned and discredited the film because they did not realize how their work was going to be used. Nonetheless, the Thrive film has had quite a bit of popularity with the Occupy movement and with younger and more idealistic and, frankly, somewhat naive people in particular. The Thrive movie, like Zeitgeist and like a fair amount of counterculture propaganda, also has appealed to people of the New Age orientation. That is admittedly a broad category, and certainly I would not want to cast aspersions on things like yoga or alternative nutrition, some of which is quite valuable, or things of that kind of holistic medicine. However, there is within the admittedly large and perhaps overly broad category of New Age a lot of, frankly, political hucksterism and outright religious fascism, in which some supposedly philosophical rationale or basis is found for endorsing people like Adolf Hitler and viewing Adolf Hitler and others as, quote, avatars, unquote, in, for the record, 795, about the Hindu nationalist fascism underlying Narendra Modi. We revisited some of our information about a woman named Savitri Devi, who in many ways incorporated aspects of Hindu nationalism slash fascism with Nazi mythology and wove that into something of a New Age or a philosophy that would appeal to people within the New Age category. Admittedly, that is a broad category, and perhaps I am painting with too broad a brush under the circumstances, but what the heck, what can you do in an hour, right? By the way, that's a good opportunity to plug the website. Each program, each For the Record program, is turned into a long article-length description, often with important supplemental material that, due to the limitations of time, I simply don't have time to include in the original broadcast. All of my entire life's work, some very valuable contributions by a contributing editor who posts under the name of Terra Fractal, and a small library of old, easy-to-download anti-fascist books are available on the SpitfireList.com website. It is, represents the better part of a half century of work on my part. I'm now in my 35th year on the air, and it is all available for download for free. The only investment one need make is one of time. Now, about the film Thrive, which really is an exercise in counterculture fascism. A very good article was authored about that film by a guy named Eric Johnson, last name J-O-H-N-S-O-N, whom, if all goes according to plan, I would like to interview next week. Eric Johnson's article about Thrive was carried in, among other publications, the San Jose Metro of May 16th of 2012. That article is called The Dangers Behind the Cult Film Thrive. It's by Eric Johnson, and it reads in part as follows. Now, in Thrive, we're going to encounter, first of all, G. Edward Griffin, the John Birch Society official, who is the author of, again, the aforementioned Creature from Jekyll Island. In AFA program number 11, we detailed the history of the John Birch Society, which has an explicitly fascist nature and history. Elements of it were involved in killing President Kennedy, and it evolved from some of the Japanese and Chinese fascist elements in World War II that networked with fascist elements within elements of the U.S. intelligence community, and it evolved from the MacArthur Group within the military in particular. The John Birch Society is not a fringe element at all. It again incorporates key elements of the MacArthur Group within the military with powerful independent oil operators like the Hunt family of Texas, with elements of the National Association of Manufacturers. That is not a fringe element at all. You're also going to hear about a guy who's success really is amazing to me, a guy named David Icke, last name I-C-K-E. David Icke is a former soccer player who went on to remake himself into a political theoretician, and he takes a lot of the anti-Semitic banking conspiracy theory stuff and weaves it into a truly stunning cosmology in which the world is being run by reptilian shape-shifting aliens, by the way, including Barack Obama, and they run the world and eat people and feed off of their energy, etc., etc. All of this, however, worked into the Jewish bankers, the Rothschilds, and the Illuminati, etc. Also, another of the influences on the film Fly, this guy named Eustace Mullins, that's E-U-S-T-A-C-E, last name M-U-L-L-I-N-S. Mullins is a Nazi ideologist, basically, although he denies that. And he was one of the first people to introduce the notion that the Federal Reserve Bank is a criminal institution run by, you guessed it, the International Jewish Banking Conspiracy. A quick point, the Federal Reserve Bank is the central bank of the United States. You would not want to live in a modern country that didn't have a central bank, because basically things wouldn't work real well if you didn't grow your own food and heat yourself by rubbing two sticks together and starting a fire and a lot of other things. Eustace Mullins wrote a book called Adolf Hitler, An Appreciation, that pretty much sums up Eustace Mullins. Perhaps even more importantly for our purposes here, one of the top influences on the film Thrive is Ludwig von Mises of the Austrian School for Economics, at the core of many things, at the core of Edward Snowden's philosophy, at the core of Julian Assange's philosophy, is the free market laissez-faire Austrian School of Economics. Both Ron Paul and Rand Paul, the latter now being touted, by the way, by Ralph Nader, are exponents or enthusiasts for the Austrian School of Economics. Key people there, people like Ludwig von Mises, Friedrich Hayek, whom we will talk about later, people like Hans Hermann Hoppe, and the Ludwig von Mises Institute that we looked at great length in our Eddie the Friendly Spook series. The Ludwig von Mises Institute and its exponents are explicitly, overtly, and as a matter of doctrine, opposed to democracy. They look very favorably not only on absolute monarchy, the Habsburg dynasty in particular, they also look with great favor on slavery, and the Ludwig von Mises Institute, at the core of the ideological foundations of Rand Paul, Ron Paul, and now, by extension, Edward Snowden, Julian Assange, and by extension, Ralph Nader, at this point in time. Anyway, they are inextricably linked with the neo-Confederate movement, not surprisingly overlapping in a profound way the white supremacist movement. These are, quote, libertarians, unquote, who explicitly reject democracy and are sympathetic to slavery. My own feeling is that the muddling of consciousness that takes place in a lot of the New Age milieu really is instrumental in getting people to not make or prevent people from making a connection between people who call themselves libertarians, which sounds wonderful. I mean, doesn't everybody want to be free? Doesn't everybody like liberty? Well, the fact that these people don't like democracy, and they do like slavery. So again, let's go into this article from the San Jose Metro of May 16th of the year 2012. It's by Eric Johnson. The dangers behind the cult film Thrive, it reads in part as follows. Thrive, a two-hour documentary that has gone viral since its release on the web in November of 2011, sells itself as an optimistic vision of a utopian future marked by free energy, unquote, freedom from oppression, unquote, and spiritual awakening, unquote. But on its way to depicting a dream world utopia, Thrive delivers a dark and dishonest version of the real world and espouses a blend of paranoid conspiracy theories and right-wing libertarian propaganda. The Santa Cruz couple who made the film, Foster and Kimberly Carter Gamble, build their tale around an undeniably poetic idea that there is a secret pattern to be found in nature and that we can learn from it. By the way, parenthetically, Foster Gamble is the heir to the Procter and Gamble fortune. Okay, so this isn't somebody who did an Operation Bootstraps operation to get his largesse. And it also, I think, informs us to an extent about how he could have been so accepting of some of these far right-wing and, frankly, explicitly fascist theories that are inextricably linked with the film Thrive. Again, repeating the last sentence. In the film's second section, Gamble sets out to show exactly how, and actually, continuing, in the film's second section, Gamble sets out to show exactly how and why the government and its sponsors are duping us. This section probably accounts for its burgeoning online popularity with the Occupy movement and its supporters. Bringing in progressive heroes such as Vandana Shiva and Paul Hawken to recount the more or less well-known crimes against humanity perpetrated by the likes of Monsanto and ExxonMobil, Thrive makes the familiar and justifiable case that huge corporations have too much power, are largely corrupt, and pose a threat to society. But then once again, the filmmakers jump the tracks of rationality. This is where the film should go political, but instead it plays the conspiracy card. And not just any conspiracy, but the granddaddy of them all, that a handful of families control the world and plan to enslave humanity. In his soft voice, the gray-haired, blue-eyed Foster Gamble says sadly, "As difficult as it was for me, I have come to an inescapable and profoundly disturbing conclusion. I believe that an elite group of people and the corporations they run have gained control over not just our energy, food supply, education, and health care, but over virtually every aspect of our lives. When I followed the money, I found it going up the levels of a pyramid. As the Taurus symbol dominates Thrive's first section, the pyramid dominates the second. And at the top of this alleged pyramid of evil, the Rothschilds." Not everyone watching this film will know that this argument has been around and been discredited for decades. Apparently, the desire to find someone to blame for all the world's problems spans generations, and the Rothschilds make a pretty good target. Parenthetically, the Rothschilds are a powerful European-based banking family. They are indeed very powerful. However, their power has been in decline since the second half of the 19th century, and there are many, many economic interests incalculably more powerful than the Rothschilds, including quite a few of them right here in the Silicon Valley from which I am broadcasting. Continuing. Eric Johnson writes in The Dangers Behind the Cult Film Thrive, "Not, are the Rothschilds very, very rich? Undoubtedly. Are the members of this family doing the work of Mother Teresa or the Dalai Lama? Mostly not. Are they all-powerful puppet masters who secretly rule the world? Are they descended from a race of snake people? Do they eat children? No. Are they Jewish? Well, yes, and it must be said. The argument made in Thrive precisely mirrors an argument that Joseph Goebbels made in his infamous Nazi propaganda film, The Eternal Jew, that a handful of banking families, many of them Jewish, are running the world and seeking global domination. Foster Gamble inoculates himself against charges of anti-Semitism by stating flatly, quote, "This is not a Jewish agenda. Let me be clear," unquote. But while he scrubs out the openly anti-Semitic aspects of the disgraceful idea, the rest of it haunts and pervades the film. And, once again, it must be said, when describing symbolism used by his imagined Dark Lords of the Universe, Gamble does not hesitate to note that the sign with a capital S appears on the building that houses the Israeli Supreme Court, which he erroneously claims, quote, "is funded entirely by the Rothschilds," unquote. To prove his economic theory, Gamble invites G. Edward Griffin, author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, which recounts the creation of the Federal Reserve Bank, an historical moment which Griffin claims was orchestrated by the, quote, "global elite who want to control the world and create a new world order," unquote. To prove his economic theory, one of several veteran conspiracy mongers who appear on screen in part two of Thrive, Griffin is a longtime leading member of the ultra right-wing John Birch Society, a fact that is not mentioned in the film. By the way, parenthetically, it's not mentioned in Zeitgeist either. For those who may have forgotten, the John Birchers practically invented the modern conspiracy theory. Founded in 1958 to carry on the work of the anti-communist crusader Senator Joe McCarthy, the society went on to battle the communist conspiracy that we now know as the Civil Rights Movement, and its leader, whom many of them referred to as Martin Lucifer King. A lot of them also referred to him as Martin Lucifer Kuhn, by the way. This is something of a sanitization of a lot of their rhetoric. Continuing. Then, the Birchers focused their energies on revealing the existence of a satanic group they called the Illuminati, a cadre of powerful families that secretly rule the world. While Griffin may be the most far-right pundit to appear in Thrive, he is by no means the most far-out. That would be David Icke, although it would be impossible to know that from the interviews that appear in Thrive. Icke's role in the film is to explain the economic theory behind a common banking practice known as fractional reserve lending. He does this in less than 2 minutes with the help of South Park-style animations, as though explaining the theory of relativity to an attention-challenged second grader. And, of course, he makes the practice appear sinister. For a more sympathetic portrayal of the practice, see George Bailey's bank run speech in the movie It's a Wonderful Life. Quote, "You're thinking of this place all wrong, as if I had the money back in a safe. The money's not here. Your money is in Joe's house that's right next to yours, and the Kennedy house, and Mrs. Macklin's house, and 100 others. You're lending them the money to build, and then they're going to pay it back to you as best they can," unquote. That is fractional reserve lending. Point of fact, without fractional reserve lending, almost nobody reading these words would ever be able to own a house. You would need to raise not only a down payment, but the entire value of a home in order to purchase it, or be born with a fortune, as was Foster Gamble, whose grandfather founded Procter & Gamble. At any rate, Ike's brief explication carries the day for Gamble, who concludes that with this banking ploy, quote, we inevitably become debt slaves to a ruling financial elite, unquote. Ike then goes on to explain in a minute or two how banks caused the current recession purposely in a plot to get their hands on all of the nation's real property, a devious plot that has been, quote, going on for centuries, unquote. Again, as with many conspiracy theories, there's a pretty big grain of truth to that. According to the film's website, this is David Icke's area of expertise. Quote, Icke reveals that a common formula, problem, reaction, solution, is used by the elite to manipulate the masses and pursue alternative agendas, unquote. But the glance at Icke's own website reveals that this is not his primary area of inquiry. Icke, it seems, brings the work of the John Birch Society into the New Age, furthering its study into the Illuminati. Like the Birchers, he swears he is not an anti-Semite, yet his site is rife with attacks against the Rothschild Zionists, unquote, who have, among other things, surrounded President Obama. Icke's innovation is that he tells the ancient conspiracy law in the language of a self-help guru, quote, the Illuminati are not in my universe unless I allow them in, unquote, he says. Again, quoting, and then I give them power. They're frightened, frightened entities, unquote. It's telling that Icke uses the word entities, unquote, because Icke believes the Illuminati, the people running the world, are not people at all. David Icke, the man championed in Thrive for his insight into economics, spends most of his intellectual energy showing that the world's leaders, from Queen Elizabeth to Bill and Hillary Clinton to Barack Obama, are not human, but are members of bloodlines, unquote, descended from an interplanetary cadre of evil, godlike human snake hybrids he calls reptilians, unquote. 2 minutes into a video on his site called Demonic Possessed Reptilian Rulers, unquote, Icke explains how these creatures do their black magic over images of George Bush, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama moving in super spooky slow-mo. Icke says, quote, what the reptilians are doing in effect through the secret societies they've set up is manipulating these bodies into power. But in doing so, they put themselves into power because they're controlling the mental and emotional processes of these vehicles. To put it another way, he isn't one of those right-wing birthers who believe that Obama's an alien. He believes Obama is an alien. In another video, by the way, of course, he's punning, the birthers believe Obama is actually Kenyan. He's saying Icke believes is actually a reptilian from outer space. Continuing, in another video, the arrival of the reptilian empire, Icke explains that, quote, outside of visible light, the reptilians feed off human energy, off human emotions, unquote. And in the three-dimensional world, they feed off of people, literally. The video features an interview with a cohort named Alex Collier, C-O-L-L-I-E-R, who in Hydrogen says, quote, there were 31,712 children disappeared in the last 25 years in the United States. These children were food, unquote. And we're going to continue with our analysis of the counterculture fascist cult film Thrive in Side 2. This, however, concludes Side 1. For the record, program number 798, Thrive on This, Counterculture Fascism in Cinema. This has been recorded on June 15th of the year 2014. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.